flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
High noon in the District of Columbia. Charlie Goldsmith joining the program now. Charlie covers the Bengals and the Reds in Cincinnati. Charlie, been a pretty busy couple of weeks for you dealing with these Bengals. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, it's been almost a more relevant radio row week for the future of the Bengals this past week with all the comments Burrow and Hendrickson were making than it was when the Bengals were in the Super Bowl a few years ago.
Let's start with the Bengals' end of season. I was listening to Joe Burrow on Pardon My Take this morning, and he seemed to have he was kind of making fun of it now. They started so bad. They get red hot late in the year, but they missed the playoffs. What is the fan reaction, the player reaction? Sure, seems like they scapegoated Anaromo, even though they won't pay anybody defensively. What is the vibe out there?
Well, let's start here. The offense was the best offense that Joe Burrow has ever been a part of. It was the best Burrow's ever played. It was the best Chase has ever played. The best Higgins has ever played. They had their best tackle duo. Chase Brown came out of nowhere and was a breakthrough, nearly 1,000-yard rusher. And despite all that, of course, as we all know, the Bengals didn't make the playoffs, and the defense was terrible. You say Anaromo was scapegoated, frankly. They invested, I believe, 9 day one or day two draft picks on that defense. And the young guys were getting worse year over year, and draft guys were whiffs or enrolled that the Bengals didn't expect them having, having pass rushers try to become run stoppers, even though they were supposed to be designated pass rush types. And the defense was a mess. Russell Wilson was thrown for 500 yards against them, and yeah, it got a little better down the stretch, but man, they played some terrible quarterbacks and some terrible offenses as they won their final 5 games. One was a win over Pittsburgh, but I don't know that Pittsburgh was really trying to win that game. So the defense has had to completely start over. The defense is having to completely rebuild itself. And how do you rebuild a defense while you also have the priority of keeping T. Higgins? Are you trying to go young on defense? What does that mean for Trey Hendrickson? The defense and the way the defense kind of showed what it was this season has kind of become the pivot point for all that.
That's interesting. I didn't realize kind of the lack of player development there. So what does happen next? Because I find it hard to focus on Higgins when they still have the Ja'Marr Chase thing lingering. That, they've got less than a month till free agency opens. How do you think things shake out over the next, less than 4 weeks?
So if we were doing this conversation in November, I'd have a lot of confidence. And what I would have told you was that the Bengals were planning and preparing to lose T. Higgins. They were high on Andre Ochovosh. They drafted Jermaine Burton. They were preparing to pay some of their young, emerging corners, Cam Taylor-Britton, Dax Hill. And, well, then what happened? Andre Ochovosh took a huge step back. Jermaine Burton didn't show up on back-to-back days, and, that's not good. And Jermaine Burton is very much a persona non grata with kind of what happened behind the scenes down the stretch in Cincinnati. Cam Taylor-Britton got benched. Jermaine Burton didn't show for 2 straight days, their third-round pick out of Alabama, all the talent in the world. But everyone knew about character concerns coming out of the draft. they put him in, and I don't want to say he doesn't know the routes, but, I mean, they're having him run deep every play, and I don't know that that's – and he doesn't even run his deep routes straight. So, you know, I don't want to pile on the kid, but Jermaine Burton will not be someone they're counting on entering 2025, even though he was kind of a wild card upside pick they took to replace Higgins. Their young corners, one got benched.
He just didn't go to practice for 2 days?
Yeah, it was a big story at the time. Well, one day he was 3 hours late, and then Saturday walked through. He's a no-show for the game that Higgins was hurt, and it was supposed to be the game where, all right, you know, I was told, this is going to be the Jermaine Burton game. It was against the Raiders. They had all these packages prepared for him, and even after he was late on Friday, they're like, all right, we're going to give you another shot. You're still in the mix here for Sunday against the Raiders. This is going to be your big opportunity, and then he no-shows on Saturday. So.
Wow.
But all of this goes to show it's so hard to replace T. Higgins. They thought they had a plan, and all of it ties back together. And then the other thing that's changed, separate from all that, how the plan to replace T and move on failed, is T changed agents. And David Mulugeta and the Bengals have had a very contentious history, including Jesse Bates and including Higgins. And T changed agents, and who's his new agent? Jamar Chase's agent. So a conversation about T's contract may also be a conversation about Jamar's contract. Jamar has called this chess. Jamar's ready to reset the market. T's ready to get what he's earned after the Bengals, after he was the only player to play out last season on the franchise tag and contract extension talks went nowhere. I don't think that anyone can really tell you right now whether or not the Bengals are going to keep Higgins. I'm all in saying they should pay Higgins a competitive up there with what anyone's willing to offer him offer. I could talk for an hour about why Higgins deserves that from the Bengals specifically, even though they will also pay Jamar. We'll see what happens here. I can tell you no decision's been made. There are a lot of moving pieces. The late agent change was a big part of this, but T is definitely the real deal, and the Bengals wouldn't be close to the same without him.
Moving forward, the defense, like you said, lose gone and whatever happened with that defense. Will they get them back together? Because if you look at this year, they couldn't stop anybody. And a lot of times they were down early and they had to come back, which can also inflate some of those passing numbers of Joe Burrow. So my question is, how did they get back to relevance on both sides of the ball?
So the Bengals, I can tell you who one starter on the 2025 Bengals defense will be, and that will be middle linebacker Jermaine Pratt, or outside linebacker Jermaine Pratt. All other 10 spots could change. You know, Hendrickson, I think they should trade Hendrickson, and we can talk about that if you want, but I think that would be the smart move. Defensive end Sam Hubbard, a longtime stalwart, isn't the same player anymore. They're going to cut Sheldon Rankins, who was their big splurge in free agency last year and was a total bust. Their cornerbacks kept getting benched for each other. It was kind of a rotating conga line of guys making mistakes, and then safety's kind of a blank slate as well. So what they did is they brought in Al Golden from Notre Dame, and Golden's whole thing is player development, specifically like what the Fighting Irish did, so many homegrown players. And if you watch Notre Dame this year, you saw a smart, complex, communicative scheme where players really were showing significant improvements. Like, they had a young freshman corner, a freshman All-American, a guy who was a three-star who they had to throw into a fire during an injury, throw to the fire due to an injury to Benjamin Morrison, kind of their star, and he was just as good, if not better. So Golden did a very, very good job at that at Notre Dame. That was what Zach Taylor hired him to do. Whether or not he can do the same at the NFL level, that remains to be seen. But they hired Al Golden specifically, the line is, because of what he can do with young players. Young players were getting worse under Lou Anarumo, so they went to the college route just like the Ravens did, the Packers did, the Chargers did, to try to find someone with who can win with a roster that's going to have a bunch of draft picks and lower paid players on their defense because of what they're paying their offense.
Dude, this sounds like such a zoo, man. Let's start with Chase. So we're talking with our buddy Charlie Goldsmith, covers the Bengals and the Reds out in Cincinnati. You didn't get a deal done with him last year when the market was very clearly set by Jefferson, and he kind of said he only needed a little bit more than
one penny
than Jet, right? You don't get it done then. Do you think Chase is going to get done, and is it possible Chase becomes available?
I feel very confident Chase is going to be a Bengal. They'll get this done now. Will it get done right before the season started like it did with Joe Burrow a couple of years ago?
But hold on. Here's my question. Is Chase under contract? Or does that, is he a free agent March 13th?
Chase is on the fifth-year option. And then they can tag him, and then they can tag him again.
Okay.
It won't get there. Okay. I think a deal will get done in September would be my project. Who knows? Maybe it gets done in June like Justin Jefferson did.
Sure.
But the Bengals have a very long track record of using the deadline and going up and all the way up until the deadline for their biggest contracts. But now would it help the Bengals to open up cap space and know exactly where you're at to get this deal done before free agency? Heck yes, but that's been the biggest problem with this front office is they haven't been proactive at all with any of these contracts, and there's been some real opportunity cost because of that. So, yes, Ja'Marr Chase, I don't think will ever hit the market and will not be available. But this deal might not get done for a bit, so that could create some at least short-term hurdles.
What if he decides, okay, you didn't sign me, I'm going to take a one-year deal. Then the next time you tag him again, that thing jumps up, way up. You take another one-year deal, then he's gone.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what they've done.
They're kind of pissing
right?
him off at this point. He's that good, and they haven't said, okay, we want you for the long haul.
And that's the problem. The problem is that the Bengals seem to have always been chasing the best deal, and in the process, they've frustrated T. Higgins, D.J. Reader, Joe Mixon, Jonah Williams, Jesse Bates. There are three or four, you know, you look at A.J. Green in the past, you look at Kevin Zeitler in the past, like, this has been the problem of the Bengals front office. If you want to call it the need to win every negotiation, I like what I said earlier, the lack of proactivity. I mean, why did the Bengals start 0-2 or 0-3 last season? A lot of reasons. A huge one was the fact that they didn't get the deal done with Chase. So Chase skipped all of training camp, was a non-participant. Then he comes back for a couple walkthroughs. Then he, on Monday, after everyone thinks he's back, he makes, frankly, Zach Taylor look bad by not showing up to practice again for the Monday before, you know, heading into the game week. And his decision, quote-unquote, whether or not he'd play week one went up apparently until the wire, and he played, but he wasn't Ja'Marr Chase in week one. He wasn't Ja'Marr Chase in week two. Like, all this had a real impact on this cloud over the Bengals that had a slow start last year, that have a slow start every year. You don't want that hanging over you again. That's why they need to be more proactive. It's time for them to change to do that, but that hasn't been the case so far to this point.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, all right. So you think Chase sticks around. Higgins was on a tag, correct?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Will they tag him again and have to pay the 20% upcharge?
I think they have
to. What does that jump to, 26 mil?
Yeah, the tag's 26 million, and frankly, I think he got more than that on the open market. So I think the Bengals have two choices. I think their choices are to tag and trade him immediately or tag and immediately work out an extension. Things have gotten too sour for the Bengals to risk or have the optics of T playing out another year on the franchise tag. Like, he has been a model citizen, an elite culture guy, the type of guy you want to reward. And to put him through the tag process again, having the potential of him playing on that, would create a precedent in the locker room that would probably upset a lot of guys in there, to send a signal that, you know, even if you're a perfect quote-unquote guy like T, they're not going to take care of you. I think playing out the year on the tag would be a very poor decision, and that's the sense I get of how they see things too. So what I see happening is either a tag and trade or a tag and an aggressive extension offer by the Bengals. And again, what remains to be seen is whether or not they're willing to go that far in giving T that aggressive extension. I think they should. I think it would be a mistake not to. Do they want to get more veterans on the defense? I don't think that would be the move, but that would be the opportunity that would open up if they didn't pay T. And again, like, you've seen reports, you've seen national reports. Nothing's gotten out so far about where the Bengals are really going to go here. And the thing I'll stress, too, to circle it back to the beginning, was the plan was to let T walk, but now they have no one else to pay because the guys up for extensions didn't pan out, and their plans in-house to replace T haven't panned out at all. So, and then T was their third best player last year, or maybe their fourth, but I think it was pretty close with Hendrickson. So, you know, that kind of leads us to the point everyone's at now.
Dude, so I hear you, and I wanted to have you on because I appreciate your coverage, right? I hear what you're saying about you got to get T done because he's been really good for you, and if you don't get him done, the whole locker room's going to be pissed. But isn't the locker room already pissed about the Chase situation?
Like, yeah.
I understand the what should happen, but the Bengals sure seem to operate in a different manner.
And that's what has Joe Burrow on Radio Row talking about explaining how the salary cap works to the Pardon My Take guys.
Yeah, like, I was listening to that.
And that's the thing, too. Like, the Bengals have done the hard part, which is the player evaluation and the drafting of the stars, and they found the stars. And then the same thing happened in the early 2010s. The Bengals had, I mean, no offense, guys, the team that got Jay Gruden his head coaching job was this early 20. I know that didn't work out in Washington.
No, but they had a hell of an offense.
This early 2010s juggernaut team that they failed to sustain and build, and then everything immediately got away from them. Now they didn't have Joe Burrow, and I don't think that'll happen to that extent this time because they have Joe Burrow, and they're going to keep Ja'Marr Chase, and that's an incredible dynamic duo. But the Bengals, the same thing happened in 2005. They had Carson Palmer and Chad Ochocinco in this great defense, and then, you know, 5 years in, they run into this wall. They don't retain, extend, build around the core once they're paying their stars, and the wheels fall out and they're tanking again. Like, the Bengals haven't shown the ability to sustain success for more than 4 years at a time. And I know you can say that about a lot of teams. It's been especially true for all these reasons with the Bengals.
That's wild, man. Yeah. I mean, that team, 3 years removed from a Super Bowl now?
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different team now.
So you say this year is Chase's fifth year?
Yeah.
Yes.
So they would play on a fifth-year option if they were to tag
Higgins. So they get 5 years. So Chase on five. You could still get two more years of Chase probably at your advantage because that dude would get complete top of market.
If you don't give him a deal this year, you tag Higgins, they're going to have problems.
I think they have them.
And they have them now, but they're going to get worse.
It's all bubbling, and I think that's what makes this year
it's
such
about
a pivot
to erupt,
point.
It's, like Mount Kilauea.
What do you want to be, and what are you going to do, and are you willing to change and be something different than you've ever been because you have capital J Joe Burrow? That's, you know, the existential question that is debated at bars in Cincinnati every night. And what they should do, again, like I'm saying, is keep Higgins, that actually trade Hendrickson and try to reset that young defense. But it's kind of decision time for what Bengals ownership wants to be.
They seem cheap, right?
That's the word. And
like, bro, I was in the reporter abyss for a long time. I know what it's like to cover a terrible organization. I feel bad for you, but I can see this thing from whatever 500 miles east of you, buddy.
They do spend money. Like, I've seen the numbers. Like, they spend money at about an average rate, but I wouldn't use the word cheap. I would use the word
not picky, but like they, you know, the guy who goes to the market and has to get their deal, like they're, it's very much their way in how they manage the cap. And they haven't been willing to do restructures and move money around and do things that winning teams do to take advantage of windows. So
because they're cheap,
I would call that bad cap management. I think those are different things, because cheap is just money. Bad cap management is how you use money and when you're willing to push your chips in. So like they are spending, but they're by far not getting the most out of their money. And that's something different in my opinion. Like there are cheaper organizations than the Bengals. But yes, the way they use their money is what creates their long-term problems.
Fair enough.
But those teams don't have Joe Burrow.
Right.
They're messing up a guy in his prime.
They're
going to
waste this away, man. They're just going to waste it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Charlie, I know, Cincinnati's a great sports town. When we were out there for that Monday nighter, I think it was the Reds season finale, and that place was packed. We really enjoyed it. Give me a 30-second Reds preview.
The Reds have Elly De La Cruz and Hunter Green, and I think Matt McClain can be an all-star, and Nick Lodolo can be an all-star if he stays healthy. And they just underperformed last season. The idea is, can Terry Francona, a Hall of Fame manager, change the tone, create kind of a different way of doing things, and really develop those guys into the best versions of themselves as players? So kind of the story of the year is, what impact can a manager make on a team with upside and potential, like real stars, that just has to figure out how to act like a playoff team.
Charlie, you file this away, dude. The Reds were B. Mitch's favorite baseball team as a kid, so you keep that in your back pocket.
I'm not going to date you, but whether or not it was the Big Red Machine or the 90s Reds, I mean, those are two incredible. I mean, they created a lot of
fans. It was before the 90s.
It was Pete Rose.
Pete Rose, there you go.
Charlie, thank you for your time, man.
Charlie.
What's the steakhouse? Jack Ruby's?
Jeff Ruby's.
Man, Jeff Ruby's out of this world. Go get the Burrow style ribeye.
Jack might be his brother.
Jack Ruby, I think he got it. Killed Kennedy.
I think that's right.
Thanks, Charlie. Appreciate you, buddy. Charlie Goldsmith, give him a follow at @CharlieG_.
They got problems up there.
Yo, you can just sense it. You can feel it in that conversation. And, like, I know what he's saying in that they do spend money. But when you look at
they have to spin it.
Yeah, there's a salary floor. Yeah. But when you look at what these aggressive organizations do, you look at what Philly's doing, what the Rams have done, teams that break through, there's a way to it. There's a method to the madness, man. And I don't think Cincy's doing
it. They don't know it.
And I think you're going to mess around and lose Burrow because of it.
Yep.
Nobody go anywhere. Phone lines open at 1 o'clock.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.